Calvin Trillin is in Oaxaca, Mexico. I wouldn't pick him for a guy who would go to Oaxaca. Would you? For the food. What? Huh?
It's Oaxaca, Michael.
Wazaka. Wazaki? He's in Wazaki? You're it. I'm going to find out if he is in Wazaki. Calvin, are you there?
Yeah, but I can't hear you very well.
Okay, I didn't say anything very worth hearing. That's okay. Are you
I hang on your every word.
I hang on my words, not you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you vacationing then?
I'm visiting my daughter and her family who are living here temporarily.
They're living temporarily in Oaxaca?
Oaxaca, which is in, sort of in the bottom of Mexico where it turns toward Florida.
That's where the mole comes from, isn't it?
It's sometimes known as the land of the seven moles.
The seven moles?
Seven moles.
Can you name all seven, though?
I could name about two. Negro, Verde, that's two.
Yeah.
There are five more.
There are five more. Well,
I'd rather not say the other five.
Do you vacation well? I mean, I can't imagine you like going around and doing vacation things.
I don't vacation well usually. But I've been here. I was here in October, and I did a piece for the New Yorker's food issue. But and the editor said, I went down, visited my grandchildren, ate my head off. Said it was the most brazen piece of boondoggling he'd ever experienced. I said, I take that as a great compliment. It's going to enhance my standing with my colleagues.
Yeah. What was the focus of that piece?
I would say the focus was my grandchildren.
Oh.
And some ferocious eating there.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you found a little out of the way places in Oaxaca that
my daughter has been here since August. Yeah. So that was sort of the focus of the piece. Is send your children first, scout out the place.
Yeah,
sort of like the politicians send advance men.
Exactly. Yeah. And have you found that place where you can get
she found everything, all the markets, everything.
Yeah. Anything surprising in the way of foodstuffs? There is there a sausage or something that you really are very fond of?
I like everything here.
Yeah.
They have all sorts of things on or in corn tortillas, mm-hmm. including something called the tlayuda, which is hard to say but easy to eat.
Yeah.
And somebody made for a museum a 300-kilo tlayuda. I was very impressed by that.
How much of the stuff do you need for something like 300 pounds? Would be a lot. What is it?
You'd have to. It takes a big stove to make a 300-kilo tlayuda.
I like it when you say it, but I don't know what is in there.
Masa, corn, ground up corn,
sure.
And beans and meat. The usual.
Beans and meat. Really, but what makes it special then? The size, I know.
Size, right. Weighs 300 kilos.
Well, enough of that. We've got here Dogfight, Calvin Trillin, and I'm so glad you came out, because the last book you wrote was entitled like The Last Thing I'm Ever Going to Write or something like that.
It was called Quite Enough of Calvin Trillin.
Yes, that's what I thought it was. And then so we were all in despair about that. But Dogfight came out. It's the 2012 presidential campaign in verse. And this has a very short shelf span, am I right?
Well, I always say that the average shelf life of a book in America is somewhere between milk and yogurt. Books by people like Danielle Steele and Dan Brown have a longer life, but they contain preservatives.
Ah, okay. But particularly with the 2012 presidential campaign, because no one wants to hear about Romney anymore or any of those people.
Oh, Romney, I think Romney, I compare Romney as far as his difficulty in relating to human beings to Albert Gore, who I once referred to as a man-like object. I was particularly taken with his remarks when he got to Michigan, his home state, about the height of trees, where he said, I love this state. It seems right here the trees are the right height. I could read that little poem if you'd like.
That sounds like a beauty to start with.
Away from here, I find no trees that please, no trees at such a perfect height as these. For me, I cannot ever be at ease with trees that grow no higher than one's knees, or two tall trees that splinter in a freeze. Wisconsin shore has bragging rights on cheese, and California's rich in Cantonese, and Colorado's where to take your skis. Connecticut, of course, has Lyme disease. At none of these am I prepared to sneeze, but here we have the perfect height of trees. I know that I will never see a sight as lovely as a tree whose height is right.
Beautiful. That came out very well.
This book is mostly verse, and occasionally there's a pause for prose. one of the pauses is entitled Callista Gingrich, aware that her husband has cheated on and left two seriously ill wives, desperately tries to make light of a bad cough.
Oh, that's good.
Who thinks it sounds like dengue fever?
Yeah. Is that the extent of that prose piece?
What?
Is that the full extent of the prose piece?
Okay. That's the title. And then,
there's
a conversation about that.
Do you care to get into the conversation, or do you think it's best left at the title?
Yeah, I think the best part's the title.
Okay, all right.
It's pretty sad when somebody's coughing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, what's good about your mitt poem on the trees and stuff is it seems to have meaning beyond the immediate, which of course he does not.
Oh, that's right.
So it's really.
But it follows the campaign, the Iowa caucuses. It says, for instance, Iowa, the caucuses unfold in weather that's invariably cold. To listen to long speeches is your duty. And getting there could freeze off your patootie. You don't get many modern poets rhyming duty with patootie anymore.
They don't even rhyme, most of them.
No, they don't even rhyme.
Yeah.
That's true.
No effort.
But deadline poets rhyme.
Deadline poets, yeah.
I'm a deadline poet. I write some of the embedded poems in this book are from The Nation. I write a poem for The Nation every week.
Yeah,
and I'm actually a member of the International Deadline Poets Organization, IDPO. The other member's John Alamang from the Globe and Mail, but his poems, he's still at the Globe and Mail, but his poems don't appear anymore there, and so we would say that his membership is hanging by a thread, but that would be a metaphor, and we discourage metaphors. But the fact that he's from Canada is what makes the International Deadline Poets Organization international.
Yeah. But I do like the lack of metaphor. That's why I always like William Carlos Williams, you know. When he's talking about a wheelbarrow with a red bird on it or something, that's exactly what it was. You know, there was no metaphor there. So I appreciate that in versifying.
Just an old red bird.
Yeah, it was. You happen to notice it. Give us more. What else do you like in your verses?
Well, I wrote a poem at the end of the race that was about Republican soul searching, which went, we're searching our souls, and we're wondering why we got beat so badly. Our rivals are gloating. It's obvious now where our campaign went wrong. We should have prevented more people from voting.
So how has it been selling? Have you got any figures back yet from the publisher?
Yeah, it's been selling pretty well for
a
book of poetry. I would say a slim volume of poetry. It's on the bestseller list that New York Times that comes out tomorrow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unusual for poetry to be on the bestseller list, you know, even silly poetry.
Yeah, yeah. Give us another one here, one that you like. And, of course, we will like them all, but one that you like in particular.
Well, I did one on Newt Gingrich, Two Attempts to Explain the Resurrection of Newt Gingrich.
That's good.
Yes, Newt appeared dead at least twice. If Nitz guys were playing it smart, they would have made certain of that by driving a stake through his heart. But Newt might have said, if they had, proceed, Nitz, you'll see I won't mind it. You're free to drive stakes through my heart, except that you'll first have to find it.
Whoa, that's a turn for you. That's a little
and
turn.
And then I did a poem. I actually sort of predicted that the problem that Republicans would have by being essentially a party of old white guys.
Mm-hmm.
When they were trying to find out who would be the vice president, I did a poem called Cuisine Diversity. If Rubio, Jindal, or Haley, or Rice got put on the ticket by Romney as vice, Republicans possibly then could entice some voters who like to eat food that has spice and not stick with voters who think that a slice of white bread's the food that will always suffice.
Wow. Food for thought there.
Remember when Romney suddenly in the second debate on foreign policy became much more peaceful and a little softer on foreign policy, and I did a poem called Romney Beats His Swords into Plowshares, and then when he got even softer in the third debate, I did a poem called Romney beats his plowshares into feather dusters.
Could we hear that?
Yeah, if I can find it here.
I just saw it, too.
Just a minute. We're having a little problem. Here it is.
Okay.
Though disagree we might, I hold the view the Democrats do love this country, too. The leaders of both parties ought to chat. In my home state, we did exactly that. I've got a new respect for single mothers. Their burden is much heavier than others. And short of backing marriage, there are ways we can be both fair and kind to gays. And when a great disaster takes its toll, then certainly the feds have got a role. In fact, an office I would not evade, the chance to come to any victim's aid. Need proof that these beliefs are at my core? Just check my Senate race in 94. Because then, like now, these views were apropos. And that was only 7 minutes ago.
Nicely done. Nicely turned. If you were asked to give one of these verses in terms of a summation of the year, of the campaign in 2012, is there one that you would turn towards and say this is... epitomizes.
I'm not sure here's three Republican candidates discourse on the subject of rape, and a fourth remains exceedingly quiet. Legitimate rape, so we're told by Todd Akin, will not produce children but simply awaken defensive biology. That quickly locks the system all down, just as safe as Fort Knox. Joe Walsh says exceptions for life of the mother are phony exceptions, just like all the other exceptions suggested. Walsh says that it's jive, since doctors can always keep mama alive. Now, Murdoch says rapist seed must be defended. A pity, he says, but it's what God intended. This absolute stance to which Murdoch still cleaves just happens to be what Paul Ryan believes. The Rape Science 3 can provide more reminders that now Mitt's got wing nuts in all of those binders.
Well, there's an up note that we can leave on and recommend that to see the rest of some of these spiritual verses that come out here in Dogfight, the 2012 presidential campaign in verse, Calvin Trilling. Thank you, Calvin, for interrupting your vacation.
Thanks, always nice to talk to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that.
Thank you, too.